My message this morning is entitled, Being an Advocate. And in today's scripture reading, Jesus tells us a few things. And in preparing this message, I became very interested in three specific things that Jesus said. The first one was, I will not leave you. The second, I will send you an advocate. And the third, keep my commandments. The connection between those three statements in my mind goes like this. Jesus said, keep my commandments. So, what did Jesus command us to do? To love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you do that? Be an advocate for them, particularly those who are in need. That's interesting, knowing that Jesus told us in today's scripture that he would send us an advocate. And as Christians are trying to imitate Christ to be small visions of Christ, then we have to believe that if we are imitating Christ, trying to be an advocate, that maybe we are the advocates being sent. Which is interesting because also in today's scripture, Jesus tells us that he will not leave us. And if we're trying to be images of Christ, maybe Christ is with us through each of us. Sort of a beautiful balance in the whole thing, don't you think? I mean, just think about it. If we will be advocates to others, God will be our advocate, and it is in us being advocates that God advocates. I know that just seems like a big mess, but we're going to work through this as I go through the rest of the message. If we're going to understand what it means to show the love of God to others, there's one very important word in today's scripture that we need to understand. That word is paraclete. It is the word that's translated as advocate in today's scripture. But it literally means one who is called along beside. So let's put that all back together again. We have a word, paraclete, that means a person who is called alongside of another for comfort. That's the word interpreted as advocate. One called alongside for comfort. It's the one thing that Jesus very specifically says he is going to send us when he leaves. So it would seem pretty important, right? Particularly when it is so clearly something that we can do for each other if we choose to do so. Which brings us to the crux of my message. How do we live into being an advocate? How do we comfort the afflicted? How do we show the love of God? Well, the answer is simple. By sharing that love with others, which very conveniently is a big part of what Jesus was talking about in today's scripture when he says, keep my commandments. Share the love of God with one another. But how do we share that love with others? Well, it's interesting. As you begin to delve into that question, you begin to understand that in contemporary society, the answer has everything to do with the difference between charity and justice. And not just any justice. We're talking about biblical justice here, the justice of God, a justice that will ultimately roll in like mighty waters. We show the authentic love of God. We become good advocates by not only giving to those in need a handout if that's what they need, but also by giving them a hand up because it's what they need. That's the question of charity versus justice. Charity temporarily fixes people's situations so that the system seems to be working better. Justice permanently fixes the system so that all people have a real opportunity to be better. You see, Love is not complete when it is temporary. You do not share complete love when you give a dollar to the guy on the street corner. It's a beginning, but it's just a beginning. Love begins to extend past the temporary and into the future. When you hand him that dollar, you also ask him what his name is. You find out how he got here. You listen to him. You don't judge him. You recognize that he would not be here if he had a better choice. From his story, you learn how the system in which we live is perfectly designed to receive the results that we have. Perfectly designed to let some snack on caviar while others scrounge for scraps, perfectly designed to let some jet around the country while others sleep under bridges, perfectly designed to let some fall into money while others fall into poverty. You learn all of that, and then you set yourself out to changing the system. You do charity because you must. You do charity because it does change a life for the moment. But you don't stop there. You become an advocate. You become one called alongside. You fight for justice because your place in life, because of your place in life, you can do that. You fight for justice because it changes lives forever. How do you know, though? How do you know that you're following Jesus' instructions to obey His commandments? Now, you examine your life. Examine your life to see if it speaks justice into the darkest places of this world. You look to see if your life is one of advocacy, if you find yourself one being called alongside of others in need. You see, if you're truly loving your neighbor, you will practice charity and justice. Now, unfortunately, as a whole, the Christian church is much more comfortable with charity than it is with justice. As I said, we need charity. It helps those thought of as the least of these in the here and now. But the thing about charity is it does just as much for the giver as it does for the receiver. You really don't risk much, and you get to feel ultimately good about yourself in charity. It's why you so frequently hear people returning from mission trips saying that they got so much more out of the trip than they put into it. Because they did. Now, I'm not saying at all that that's a bad thing. Not at all. Not at all. I'll say it again just to make sure that I'm not misunderstood. Charity is a good thing. It's a loving act. It's just that it's a temporary loving act. Justice, on the other hand, when done right, justice means much more to those receiving than those giving. To do justice, you have to risk. You see, people don't take very kindly to someone mucking up about with their system that provides their livelihood, and even if it does so at the expense of other people. They will attack you and judge you and even try to hurt you in one form or another. In very simple ways, justice requires you to put some part of your life on the line for the sake of giving real life to others. It's sort of biblical. No greater love has anyone than this, than they lay down their life for another. But we, the Christian church, oddly, prefer charity to justice most of the time. We are glad to hand money to people on the street corners, but we're sadly reluctant to stand on street corners protesting when the very programs they could have helped those in need are being defunded. We are more than glad to give pennies for the hungry, but we're surprisingly reluctant to donate that same money to advocacy groups like Bread for the World, who are working to change systems that create inequitable distributions of food resources. Today's scripture says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Advocate, one called along beside. If we are to share the love of God, we will love one another. If we are to share the love of God, we will be advocates, ones called alongside of each other. If we truly live into Jesus' commandment to love one another, we too will be advocates, ones called along beside, defenders of God's justice, which should roll like mighty waters. But in churches, we tend to do that much less frequently than we should. Personally, I see a general malaise that has fallen across Christianity. We have bought so far into kumbaya, turn the other cheek, Jesus more of a doormat than a door theology, that we have rendered ourselves somewhat ineffectual at times. Frequently, we've come to think that loving our neighbor as ourselves means not making anyone upset by demanding that the poor and the sick be cared for, even though that's exactly what Jesus did. Worse yet, we have started measuring Our success at being that kind of Christian by how many people like us compared to how many people don't. How we got to this point, I don't really fully know. And quite honestly, it doesn't really matter to me all that much. What does matter is that lots of Christians practice their faith with that kind of version of what love looks like. It's a version that looks nothing like the love Jesus practiced while here on earth. In that kumbaya version of Christianity, having an attitude of gratitude means possessing a disposition of constant submission to a world and those who rule in it. Turning the other cheek so many times that you don't know if you're looking left or right. Now, biblically, that is a song that is disharmonious, disconnected, and disturbingly, and a disturbing distortion of what Jesus was. Need I remind us all that so many people didn't like Jesus that they nailed him to a tree? Not because he was a bad person, but because he did not make nice when people distorted God's message of love. He was busy being an advocate, demanding justice. He didn't just turn the other cheek while politicians and religious leaders conspired to step on the least of these. He stood up. He stood up for what was right. He flipped tables in the name of God. He didn't lash out violently at another human being. He never did that. But he did lovingly confront them. He was always motivated by love. But he did not back down. He did not sacrifice the Word of God for the comfort of humanity. He did not keep his mouth shut in the name of being nice. He didn't do those things because he loved the world too much. He wanted to love his neighbor as himself. So he was busy practicing being an advocate, one called along beside. For too long, the children of God have suffered. For far too long. God has claimed the meek and the poor in spirit, and those who mourn, and those who thirst for justice, and the merciful, and the pure at heart, and the peacemakers, and those that suffer persecution for justice's sake, has called those as God's own. Those who take advantage of the meek and persecute people who work for justice, they've been given a pass by many Christians who far too frequently think that turn the other cheek means to sit passively by like a doormat as the marginalized get stepped on, used and abused by the powerful who wipe their feet of the world's sometimes gritty reality so that the houses that they build on the backs of the rest of us don't get soiled by the pain, the abuse, the hatred of this world that they themselves have created. When Jesus was confronted with people that had distorted the purpose of God, he flipped tables. When Jesus was confronted with people using God's name to dupe those who had little, who were meek, who were abused and marginalized, he flipped tables. If we wish to love our neighbor as ourselves, to walk alongside of them, to be advocates in the name of God's love, there are certain things that should move us to the point of wanting to flip tables. People using God's name for false purposes. People using religion to further marginalize the least of these. God's justice, not rolling like mighty waters. Philanthropy stopping at charity rather than living into the future through justice. When those things happen, it's time for us not only to flip tables, but to turn them. It's time for us to live into being the advocates that we are called to be. It's time for us to no longer stop at charity, but rather extend our love of neighbor into justice. It's time for us to confront injustice at every turn. We must profess love in every moment. We must see Christ in every face. And it might just take turning a few proverbial tables to do it.